I'd like to share just a short video clip. This is from a short prayer that A.W. Tozer had. You will find a copy of it in the Alliance Life. If you don't have one, there are some out on the in the foyer area. I would encourage you to check that out. I'll be talking more about that later. But Paul, if you could run this short clip.
Lord, teach me to listen.
Lord,
teach me to listen.
Lord, teach me to listen.
Lord, teach me to listen.
Lord, teach me to listen.
Teach me to listen. Let me hear your speaking in my heart.
Let me hear your speaking.
Let me get used to the sound of your voice, that its tones may be familiar when the sounds of earth die away, and the only sound will be the music of your speaking voice.
Amen.
Amen.
Teach me to listen. That's what our time of prayer and fasting was about, listening to God. Those of you who participated in that, I'd like to thank you. I know that you probably don't need a thanks because there, if you were listening to God, you received plenty of thanks and benefit through that. You're saying, why are you thanking me? I'm the one who benefited from this. If you didn't participate in the time of prayer and fasting, I would encourage you to do so on your own. Just on a regular basis, take time away to just focus on listening to God and His Word. As we come to our prayer-focused time, I'd like us to focus on listening to God's Word as a church. That's what our time of prayer and fasting was about. Listening to God's Word, seeking His will for Northbrook. And that's something that we need to be doing each and every day. So let's pray. Father God, teach us to listen. Help us each one to listen closely and attentively to Your Word. But we make a habit of going to You in prayer and spending that time listening to You so that we do become comfortable and familiar with Your voice. So that when we hear it, it doesn't startle us to missing what was said. So that when we hear it, we can pick it out from amongst the crowd. So that when we hear Your voice, we can know for sure that it is indeed You. And follow it unswervingly, faithfully, to wherever You will lead and guide us. Father, teach us to listen so that we are hearing Your will in Your Word in our life so that we can walk step in step with You. Lord, do teach us each individually and as a congregation, to listen. In Jesus' name. Did Elaine put you to sleep? I thought it was very touching what she was sharing. You know, good morning.
Good morning.
Better. Thank you. We're leaving Romans for this week and next week. The next 8 days, we won't be in Romans. We'll be in the Gospel of Mark, as we look at Palm Sunday, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. Now, as we look in these passages over the next couple days, we need to remember what Easter is about. And most people spend more time and money and effort celebrating Christmas. And Christmas is a wonderful holiday. And without Christmas, there wouldn't be an Easter. But without Easter, Christmas doesn't matter. So, I would really ask you over this next week to really consider what Easter is about. And if you can possibly be here for our Good Friday service. Invite friends and family, neighbors, to come to these things. Good Friday is probably one of the most moving services I personally ever participate in. Just each year, I find that it's one that speaks to me volumes, and I find that that it does the same for most people. It's not a day that we should, as Christians, just gloss over. It is the day that literally our sin was taken away, or the penalty was paid. So I invite you to be here for service on Friday at 7. Again, I encourage you to bring others. With that in mind, let's turn to our scripture passage for today as we look at the triumphal entry. And we look at just some people being obedient to following the Lord's direction. Chapter 11, verse 1. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this, tell them, the Lord needs it, and shall send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming King of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. The privilege that we have to enter into your very presence. That we too can shout, Hosanna, that is saved. Lord, you came and you saved us. We thank you for this. Now, Lord, as we come and look at your word this morning, help us to live saved and to hear with saved ears and to have a heart that just wants to do what it is that you have for us. So much so that we will listen closely to what you have to say to us through your word today. Help us to see your word as fresh and vibrant and applicable to each and every day of our lives. Lord, help us to apply this word to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God is indeed a fresh and vibrant thing. It's not dead. It's living. Friday we had our prayer and fasting vigil here at the church. And 10 people joined me over the course of the few hours I was here, 18 hours here in the sanctuary. And prayed with me. As I was praying, as I was preparing for the vigil, as I'm reading this passage, I'm seeing things in this passage that I didn't see before because it didn't apply to me before, because it had to do with where I was right then, where I am right now, where this church is right now, what it is we were doing. We were seeking the Lord's will to follow Him. And as I'm reading this passage, the only thing I'm seeing, I'm not seeing the trumpet, the celebration of the King coming into Jerusalem. I'm not seeing the old story. Instead, what I'm focusing on and what's being brought to my eyes like laser beams is the picture of these two obedient followers of Jesus, these two disciples who He gives them a task and they step out and do it. And they follow His instructions faithfully. It doesn't sound like a very complex thing, and technically it really wasn't. Go get this colt, bring it to me. If somebody gives you any grief about it, tell them the Lord needs it, He'll bring it back shortly. Anybody here ever own any livestock? Horses, cattle, sheep, goats, you know, things like that. Even if you're a farmer, you still are, it's your livestock. It's, you're possessive of it. And particularly a riding beast, like a donkey. Now this colt was one who had never been ridden before. And if you've owned an animal like this, you know that people are more protective of that because it's so easy to ruin it so that it becomes no good as a riding animal. It could be damaged. If you put too much weight on a small young animal, you could harm it physically. If you put somebody on it or people treat it improperly or poorly, you can get an animal which is totally ruined for anybody else to ride later. They just rebel. They will fight. That's obviously not going to work. Can't wave my arm. I can't talk. But yet these two guys, they walk up. and the donkey is tied by a doorway. Now, where are you going to tie your valuable property? Where you can keep an eye on it. So it's right there. And, you know, some people were saying there, questioning them. We don't know that it was the owner, but most likely, if not, it was somebody who knew them. Certainly they knew it wasn't theirs. Otherwise they'd say, well, what are you doing with that critter? That's not yours. Unlike today, you know, where many people in some different places, people won't. Did I just lose my mic? Says I'm on. Okay. I was on for a second. Seems like it. I don't know. Never mind. Maybe I just lost the monitor for a second. What we have here, this donkey, this colt, it's never been ridden, and people were just walking up and taking it. And the people nearby let him. Now, there are some places here in the U.S. where people will allow that. They'll let you walk up to the neighbor's house and go in the garage and take the bike and leave, and they won't say anything. There's other places, like by my house, if you walked into my neighbor's garage, I would say, hey, what are you doing? That's not yours. I'm pretty sure if Ed saw somebody going to the neighbor's garage there, and we've got one neighbor where I talk about taking the bike, they've had their bike stolen a couple of times because they'd ride nice bikes. And if Ed had seen somebody going over there, he would have said something. Wouldn't you? Or would you let him take it? Yeah. He may not physically have tackled them, depending. You know, if they were much big and scary, he probably less likely to than if they were whatever. But he still would have confronted, and he, as these people did. You see, Pastor, what are you going on and on and on about this? The point is that these disciples, they went out on this task, which they're told, go get a colt. Now, they could have, they probably figured out, okay, why do we need a colt? There's symbology here and symbolism, and they would have understood the concept that the king coming in peace rides on the colt of a donkey and not on a war horse. See, a king coming in military victory or coming to conquer will come riding a chariot or would come riding a stallion or something like that. But the one coming in peace, after already having won the victory, that one comes riding on a colt of a donkey. And in particular, one that's not been ridden by anybody else before, so it's not been ruined. He's the first and only rider for that one. Well, here we have these guys doing a very simple task so that this prophecy, which is spoken of in the Old Testament, is fulfilled. Now, was Jesus intentionally manipulating, attempting to fulfill the prophecy? I would say, yeah, he's intentionally seeking to fulfill the prophecy. He's going to Jerusalem, you know, he was going to die. That's to fulfill the prophecy. He's going to fulfill more, though, his Father's will. And that's why it's so important that we listen and follow the Lord's directions. The Lord gave simple directions, and they followed it. And the result was what the Lord intended, and what the Lord desired. Even though there were plenty of impediments, they could have said, you know, Jesus, I don't know, if we just say that, you know how people act about their private property, especially young colts. They didn't argue with him about this and say, you know, people are going to stop us, and I don't think they're going to really let us take it.
I don't think, you know, just saying the Lord needs it and He'll send it back is going to be good enough. They didn't do that. They said, okay. And they went. And they got there. And they were confronted. And they gave them the Lord's answer. And it was good enough. It worked. The Lord's answer works. Now, as we had our time of prayer and fasting, I had three basic things that came to me through the time of prayer. One was that we needed to be sharp individually and as a congregation, sharp like a surgical instrument, not be blunt. We had some discussion about what that's like, to be sharp like a two-edged sword, like as the Lord's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. We talked about how a surgical instrument is used for healing and removing things that need to be removed cleanly so that there can be healing afterwards. How, you know, myself, I've worked in a kitchen. There's nothing more dangerous in the kitchen than a dull knife. You think a sharp knife, well, that's dangerous. No, it's a dull knife that's dangerous because it doesn't cut properly. You need a sharp knife. So we, to be God's instrument and tool here in Brooklyn Center, need to be sharp. Sharp, we also talk about, you know, acuity of the mind, sharpness for God. Now that might be a stretch for me, but I know some of you are sharp, like George is. You know, I said, yeah, isn't it a fine day, ladies? And he said, well, isn't that, here's a couple of fine days, a couple of fine ladies this day. And I'm like, well, you just changed the word in order, and he gets a better response from him than I do. How'd that happen? He's sharp. I said that wrong. But it was close. Is this mic that's working and this one not? The one I'm wearing works part-time. Well, I... then I'm just shutting that one off, and we'll go with this. You're like, why do you have this one on? This one rattles. Shut that one off. This one works. Shut that. But I don't care. Because it distracts me. And I need to be focused, which is what else, the other thing that we were told to be doing is to be sharp and focused, not blunt. You take a hammer and you treat every, what you get, what you need a sharp instrument for, what you get is, you know, tomato sauce instead of sliced tomatoes. So we need to be sharp and have focus in what we're doing. The other thing we need to do is that we need to follow. Whether what we're doing is revolutionary and exciting or staid and very ordinary. Maybe God is calling us to a ministry that is just out there. Just, you know, and I've spoken about this before, how it's real easy, or not real easy, but I think it's easier to give your all for God for something that's really out on the edge and something that's really kind of, to me, that's like, yeah, that's easier to do than to give my all for God and doing the paperwork in the office. Getting the thank you cards mailed out. I'm not, you know, not good at those things. But I need to be. And we need to follow the Lord's direction, whether He's asking us to do something brand new
and really fresh and revolutionary, or whether he's telling us to, you know, what I need for you to do is in this parade that we're having walking in town, you know, they're going to be throwing all these reeds down, and this donkey that I'm riding on is going to leave some debris also. I need for you to clean that up. Would you do that? Oh, yes, Lord, thank you. It's a real hard attitude to come up with. But yet the job needs to be done, doesn't it? I don't know for sure which job it is the Lord is asking us to do or directing us to. But we need to have as much commitment to following the Lord as if he's asking us to do something which is out there, exciting, or maybe even boring and humbling. What task is it the Lord is asking us to do as a church? It's not important what the task is. The importance here is that we follow his direction. Okay? The importance is our faithfulness in following his direction. His directions to the letter. Now, these guys who went and took this colt, they didn't try to come up with their own plan because they figured, you know, God's, you know, at this point they weren't calling him God, they're just referring him to Jesus, you know, the teacher. They didn't say, you know, the teacher's plan, you know, I don't know, I don't think it's going to work. I got an idea. You know, there's probably going to be somebody hanging around. Tell you what. You go over there first, and if you see that somebody over there, what I want you to do is to stumble into the fruit stall next to them and knock over a bunch of stuff. Make kind of like a scene. When everybody's looking at you, I'm going to untie the colt, and I'll just kind of slowly, nonchalantly walk away, and nobody will notice in the confusion. See, that's more likely sounds like a plan that, you know, I in some of my earlier days might have come up with. You know, I would have thought, no, I can come up with a better plan. You know, I certainly, you know, just say the Lord needs it, we'll bring it back later. Nah, it's not going to work. Remember that often what looks like foolishness to man and is intended to look like foolishness to man. And it's meant to show the power and the glory of God. So we need to follow what it is that the Lord is telling us to do exactly, as closely as possible. So throughout the prayer time I had that we need to be sharp, that we need to follow, and the third thing is that we need to do the tasks that he's given us. I said we need to follow, but there's some task which he's given us which we keep trying to give off back into his hands. He's given us a task, and instead of us doing it, we try to say, Lord, will you do this for me? And he said, no, I gave you that task. And he gave me one specific one. Example of this. As I was walking through the church, because remember it's early in the morning and I've been up all night and I need to stay awake, so, you know, sitting down or kneeling wasn't a real good idea. So I'm walking through the church, and I prayed over all the chairs, and I prayed through the sanctuary, and I'm going, Lord, fill this place. And he goes, you need to shut me down right now. Boom. No. That's your job. That's the job of this church to fill those chairs. It's not my job. I gave you that job. I have empowered you for that job. I have commissioned you for that job. It's your job to fill the chairs. Oh. Right about then, you know, just like, boom, I did go sit down. Actually, I went and kneeled down for a while. Kevin was sharing with me earlier, and he's not going to get too mad at me, I don't think. He's got a good attitude. But he was telling me that his mind's not as quick or as sharp as it used to be. He said, you know, something happens, and it's not till later that I think of how I should have responded to it. And I'm talking about us being sharp and having that. How can we do that? Well, we can practice ahead of time. We can figure out what it is we're going to say before the event comes, or we can listen to what it is the Lord has directed us to do, so that when that event comes, and I've said it, and I've practiced it, and I know it, so that I don't have to think about it. Because if I have to think about it, you know, my thinker don't work so good all the time. Yours might work fine, but mine's kind of... But if I don't know, I don't do it. It's kind of like training for CPR. If you've practiced it and practiced it, when something happens, you know what to do. You don't have to think. You just do it. It's one of the things that I've learned to do. Why? Because I learned it as a little kid. Now I have issue trying to remember how to do the new method of mouth-to-mouth. You're supposed to do the jaw thrust method. You know, it used to be you put your hand under the neck, but you don't do that anymore. So I have a little issue with that. But where's Pastor's rambling going? I'm going to tie it in. The point here is that as we're sharpness and as we're following it, as we've practiced it, the situation's going to come where you have opportunity to invite somebody, and I practice what I'm going to say. Because I know what I want to say. And it's not like the opportunity came and I didn't know how to do it. Because I wasn't prepared for that opportunity. We need to have the obligation to be prepared. The Lord has given us what we need. He gave the disciples He sent to get the donkey what they needed. He's given us what we needed to fill this place. We just need to be faithful in following His instructions. What are they? To love one another, to share that love with others, to love Him unconditionally. Those are simple instructions. Well, what do I say? Hi, I'm Pastor Bruce. I love you. Doesn't come over quite so well in some circles. Hi, I see you got a flat tire. Can I help you? That goes over pretty good. Never seen anybody turn that one down. Had somebody come knock on my door the other day. They said, "Is Hobbs there?" Immediately I knew it was one of Ryan's friends. They all do that. They call the house, say, "Is Hobbs there?" I'm like, who do you expect to get at this house? She's right in front of my driveway, and she said, "Oh, well, I got a flat tire, and I was wondering if I could use a jack or get some help." She's got a couple of guys in the car, but they don't even know which end of the jack handle to use. I mean, so I go out in the rain and change the tire. And tell her where Ryan is and let her know that I'll say hi. And it's just a little way of showing God's love. If I have opportunity to run into them again, I'll share it again. And when I've run into somebody a few times and I've had opportunities to share a couple of times, eventually there's going to be something where I'm going to say, you know, we're doing something at church. You know, this is... Coming up here, we've got a family game night. We're just going to get together and have a spaghetti dinner. Why don't you come join us? You know, we got one of those coming up. Just build into people's lives. Be yourself. Don't try to be anybody other than who you are, which is a follower of Christ. And then just invite them to come along on that journey. See, God will provide us with the means to do whatever it is He asks us to do. He has given us the task of filling this church. He's given us other tasks too. And we need to be obedient in discerning what they are. We need to be obedient and then following His directions and living them out. Now, there's sometimes when the Lord tells us to go someplace, and He doesn't tell us that, oh yeah, this one's going to cost you. In fact, this one might just cost you your life, but I want you to go because I have need of your life spent in this way. See, we never know if the next task that He gives us is going to be that one. Sometimes He asks us to do some things and we go there and we do it and we don't understand what benefit it had to the kingdom at all. Until maybe later it might be revealed to us. Sometimes we can see the exact benefit, as we see here with these who went to get the colt. They were given tasks, they went and did it, they saw exactly the benefit of what happened. And they participated in it. They even got to be part of the parade. But that's not always the case. Sometimes the case is when we follow the Lord's direction, He just gives us what we need to get through it. Not to succeed in it, if you would, because success in this case is for us maybe to take one for the team, if you've ever heard of that phrase. It was especially prevalent in hockey. That was the guy who was supposed to be the enforcer, go out and take the penalty for the team. Basketball has those type of people too. Right? But here it's, Lord sends us out to take one for the team. Quite often we call those people missionaries. They're the ones who give their life and they might spend 30 years in a little village and see basically nothing. But then the next person walks in and these people gave their life and they don't see. And then somebody else walks in and the whole community is ready to receive Christ. And they go, what? Well, we watched him for 30 years, and he went to be with Jesus the same way that when he first came. And his walk and commitment was always there. So we've decided that, yes, we too need to follow Jesus. There are missionary stories that are exactly like that. And the next missionary that walks in that community, all the people are already ready to become Christians. They've already made the commitment. They just wanted somebody else to formalize it. Sometimes that's the result. We don't know. So read the Bible as a living document. It needs to be fresh. Apply it to your life today. As I read this passage, this is the part that was just being driven home to me time and time again. Yeah, we could go on and on about the other parts of it. About what Hosanna means, about the prophecy that was fulfilled, about how he came as and received as a king on Sunday, and on Friday they're crucifying him. There's a lot there. But right now, today, that's not the important part for me anyways. The important part is seeing a couple of faithful disciples who do what need to be done, who follow the Lord's direction. So I said, in our prayer time that I had, vigil, the Lord brought to me to be sharp, to follow, and to complete the task that He gives us. That's what we need to be doing. It's simple. It's not theologically difficult. Maybe that's unimpressive to some of you that I'm not laying out this deep theological thing. But the fact of the matter is that if we don't follow God simply with childlike faith, we're not really following God. We can have the other two, but this needs to be first. So, I've already asked you to pray. I have. I've been asking you to pray, to seek and find the Lord's will and direction for yourself in this church. We had some discussion about that. And I think as I meet with the elders, we'll sharpen that a little bit more. But what I need for you to do right now is to commit to the becoming sharp. To commit, to follow where the Lord is leading, whether it's something that we can say is really out there, or whether it's something that's going to be real mundane and humbling. And then to fulfill the task, not try to give it up halfway through, or just never even get started. Some of the things, you already know what they are. As I've told you, it's your job. It's our job to fill the seats here. Now, you say, I like a small church. And I don't want, personally, thousands and thousands. Why? Because I'm more of a person that likes to interact with everybody. But frankly, we need to be interacting with more people. We need to have more people here. This is not meant to be our church. This is God's church, whom we are part of. This is meant to be the church that's for all whom God would call. It's our job to invite them. Now, I'm sure each and every one of you here can look too far, either to your left or to your right, and find an empty seat. Find an empty seat. I'm going to ask you to commit to filling one seat. See, I'm not asking you to fill the church. I'm asking the church to fill the church. But if we each would seek to invite and bring one person and get them to come 4 times. One-time event, visitor. People from Florida, sorry, Sandy. Or Debbie. Wonderful. We love to have them, but no, I'm talking about people who live here in the area. Your neighbor, somebody from work, family member, relative, neighbor, somebody from the health club, somebody from the grocery store. Sometime over the course of the next year. Start now. Build relationship. And just bring one person. Say, well, I'm not an outgoing, I can't meet a lot of people. You don't need a lot of people. You need one. Anybody here not know one other person? Okay, good. Everybody knows at least one other person. So you've got at least one other person you could possibly ask. Pray about it. Who is it that the Lord would tell you to bring? That's the key. Just don't go do it willy-nilly. The whole thing that I've been talking about is seeking and finding the Lord's will and direction. Ask Him, Who should I be inviting, Lord? And he will tell you. Don't believe me? Prove me wrong. Pray and ask God. Say, pray every day for a week. Lord, give me a name. Give me somebody. Give me this picture. Show me somebody who it is you want me to do. You pray that every day for a week. And if you don't have somebody, if the Lord hasn't put somebody on your heart or your mind, you come back and you tell me. And I will stand up here and I will apologize. But I'm sure God does answer prayer. And I know that is a prayer He will answer. He will put somebody on your heart. So, let's seek to be sharp. Let's seek to follow. Let's seek to complete the task. And always, always do so through listening to our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You did indeed send Your Son Jesus to be our Savior. And that He did come and live here on earth. And on that Palm Sunday, ride in the victorious King, proclaiming His identity for all who really listened. All who are really willing to look. And Lord, more importantly, we thank You because He also went to the cross and rose from the grave so that we can have forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. Lord, I ask that right now You would help us to follow Your directions as closely as Jesus did. Lord, that we would be as obedient, even if You ask us to do something which requires us to give up our life, as You did Your Son, or if You require us to do something as humble and mundane as to go pick out this animal for me, pick up this package for me and bring it back. Whatever level You call us to, whatever task it is that You call us, Lord, might we be sharp to it, might we follow Your directions and footsteps exactly, and might we complete the task. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.